So now we're going to move to the question and answer portion of this informational session. Both myself and our city manager, Joe Slocum, will be going around with... Okay. So Joe will be on this side of the room, and I'll be on this side of the room. We ask that when you're speaking, please only ask one question. There are a lot of us here tonight, and so we want to have as many people participate as possible. And you can ask questions of anybody up here. So if you have a question, I guess raise your hand and I will, or Joe will, if Joe wants to start, and then I will move this way.
Can you guarantee that there will be a good buffer of trees both in the summer and the winter, so people on the hiking trails on both sides of the reservoir will not be looking at buildings?
So part of the environmental planning process is to make sure that not only are there minimized visual impacts, but also there are things like stormwater and runoff that need to get addressed as a part of that permitting process. So trees are an important part of that. So whether that's trees that are already in existence now, or whether that's trees that are planted as part of a landscape architecture plan for the site, those buffers are something that Norick Aqua Farms has very much got an interest in maintaining. They also want to have their facility be a visually pleasing site. So I can't tell you standing here today how many trees and which trees, but there will be a buffer, and there will be a lot of consideration given to visual impacts. We're very aware of the fact that that hiking trail is precious to the community, and we'll be doing everything we can to make sure that that's preserved.
So on one of the screens, you had mentioned that the water would be treated for bacteria, and I'm wondering how that would be done. Is this antibiotics? Do you use antifungals?
Yeah. Okay. Mostly, you could say that the industry, at least the Norwegian industry, does not use any antibiotics, and it hasn't for many years. So, and it's kind of a myth that's still going around that they use a lot of antibiotics. It is true that some other places in the world it is used, but I can say in Norway, nobody's using it. So in the case of bacterial treatment, we use so-called UV treatment, ultraviolet light that neutralizes the bacteria. So all the water goes through this, both inside the system and everything that leaves the system, all will be treated with this.
Fungal?
Mm-hmm. What did you have in mind then?
So I know that fungal issues are...
I apologize. My brother manages a salmon hatchery in Alaska, So I am very interested
okay.
in this.
I think I know what you're getting at.
Yeah, so since you know what I'm getting at, they do have concerns about fungal organisms in their tanks. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. One important thing is that when you have fresh water production, your risk of fungus is greater. So we do see some production with salmon actually in fresh water, and they have more fungal issues. And the main treatment method for that is salt. So when you raise your salinity, those issues tend to go away. So that's one of the important things here as well. That, for example, we are not a farm producing salmon in fresh water. As such, we use brackish water. Yeah.
My name is Mike Grund, and I'm a citizen of Auckland. My question is about the water, the wells. How deep are these wells going? Is there an aquifer you're drawn into? And are you people going to be required to put money in the escrow account if anybody's wells go dry because of this?
I'll answer that as I can at the moment. We're currently in the middle of doing that hydrogeologic investigation to find out what is a sustainable well yield. My company does these on a regular basis, and so we're experienced at making those assessments. And if there's a concern with this site not being able to produce enough water for the project in a sustainable manner, Nordic Aqua Farms wouldn't go forward with this site. Part of our biggest hurdle in this due diligence process is finding a sustainable amount of groundwater. And, you know, I'm very aware as a citizen of New England of the issues surrounding water withdrawal. All I can say is we're doing our best right now to study the issue and make sure that what is going forward here is sustainable and isn't going to impact the community in a negative way.
I appreciate that. But my question was, are you going to be required to put money into an escrow account if somebody's well goes dry?
I'm not aware of anything in a regulatory statute that requires that. If it's required, then that's what would be asked of Eric if the project goes forward. I'm not aware of whether that's a requirement by any statutes locally or at the state level.
Thank you.
What does sustainable water mean? Sustainable for you, the company, to continue, or the sustainable for the future generations of Maine and taking the aquifer that belongs to the commons? What does sustainable mean?
I can address that a little bit. I mean, it's not just sustainable for the company, and it's not just sustainable for now. In order for something like this to succeed, there has to be a demonstration that what I pump today isn't going to be different from what I can pump in 30 years. And not only is that something that Eric needs for his assessment for the company to go forward, but it's something that's also mandated under the permitting process for the state. And so it's not just my opinion, it's not just Eric's opinion. It's also something that the regulators weigh in on, because we all know that
having
the Maine DEP will weigh in on that.
I would like to ask about the feed, and I'd also just say I'm very excited if this does pan out, having spent my first 3 years in Oslo. Thank you.
Oh, that's great to hear. We have not made a final choice of feed. We're still 2 years away from feeding and fish in this project. There's a number of different feed products to market. We are aiming towards an organic-type standard feed. We're going to be speaking to feed suppliers in the U.S. One of them is sitting here today. So this is something we're going to be looking further into. But sourcing, you know, sustainable feed ingredients is an important thing. And also making sure that one thing is the fish health perspective, and the other one is also feed. It gets a little bit technical, but you get binders and everything that makes it easy to remove feed from the water also, so it doesn't get discharged. So there's a lot of issues we're going to be looking into and talking with feed suppliers with. I don't know if there's any specific issue related to feed you were wondering about, or...
Well, I happen to know that it's krill that gives the salmon its natural reddish-pink quality.
Yeah.
And I'm just concerned about it, the quality for human consumption and nutrition, because I look forward to having some farm-raised salmon that I would actually want to eat. Thank you.
So there is some there is a lot of development in these areas, and also natural products substitutes that are coming up the market. I was almost tempted to hand it over to our feed man here. Do you want to comment?
Yes.
Yes?
Krill is not used at this point. We're using a astaxanthin. It's a natural color for the salmon. And
it has no nutritional.
Oh yes, it does. Yes. And we have, feed is, we have low phosphorus feeds, we have organic feeds. There's several types of feeds. But I have a question also.
How much feed are we buying?
Yeah, we're going to go to...